able to stand here alongside my incredible, and should I say, very handsome husband. As Sean preaches today, I get to share my thoughts, insights on what inspires me and what really challenges me from the text. I want to thank you, Sean, for this idea that you have to invite me to speak with you this Women's History Month 2023. Yesterday, many sisters from our region and excitedly lots of family and friends joined us for the much anticipated and much announced screenings of the movie, The Woman King. A must see, okay? A must see on as big a screen as you can. 90% Rotten Tomatoes, if that moves you. But it's a tradition that every year during Women's History Month, we gather as women folk and sister friends to watch a movie that focuses on women or a woman. It started about 7 years ago in 2017 with the opening of The Shack in theaters, and we all went to the movies together. We watched Esther One Night with the King 1 year. We watched Hidden Figures together. And we rented the theater for Captain Marvel. We didn't stop during COVID, but found a program that allowed us to see two movies in 2020 and 2021 on Zoom. I'd like to thank all of the volunteers for the Women's History Month, Veronica Wanzer, Lucette Robinson, Carolyn Thomas, Debbie Gonzalez, Eileen Holloway, who I want to give a special shout out to for providing all the popcorn and candy for yesterday's event. The Lord just put that on her heart. Xavier Brown, Gabrielle Barnes, it's a family, you know, who just pitched in and helped. Chenye, Amanda Britton, who is a sister who's moving here from the Bronx, but she volunteered, but her mom passed away, so keep her in your prayers. And I'd like to thank Kimberly Coleman for overseeing International Women Day's midweek and all who participated. Lucette Robinson for overseeing the Zoom and everything for our prayer time, and Veronica for the idea. Today we're going to look at two women who were warriors in their own right. When Sean invited me to speak, I was so grateful because it was perfect to do that, focusing on Deborah and JL. The Woman King is based on true events of an all-women's army in a West African nation called Dahomey. These women warriors, called the Agogies, gave up the right to marry or bear children in a life devoted to serving and protecting their king and people. And they were fierce, focused, and highly trained. And I hope that you will see in the Bible that God has always used women throughout the Bible. We have two books, Ruth and Esther, devoted to women. There's a whole chapter of women in Romans. And throughout the Bible, God has always used women who are fiercely focused on him to do his bidding. And we'll see that with both Deborah and JL today. Thank you.
Amen. Let's say a prayer together. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to worship you, to give you thanks and praise. We praise you, God, for you are a God of love. You love us in ways that we cannot fully understand. You care for us in ways we do not deserve. You see us and you hear us. You stoop down to make us great. Praise be to you, Lord, and we thank you for revealing yourself in your holy word. Your word teaches us that everything written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. As we study your word today, show us how to endure in our faith in times of trials and conflicts, and give us the encouragement we need at this hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Judges 4, 1 to 24. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord now that Ehud was dead. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in Harosheth Hagoyim, because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. They cried to the Lord for help. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River, and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go, but if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Certainly I will go with you," said Deborah, "but because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went with him. Now Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hohab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zanaim near Kadesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera summoned from Hirosheth Hagoyim to the Kishon River all his men and his 900 chariots fitted with iron. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go! This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down to Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and his chariots and army by the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, meanwhile, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there was an alliance between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the family of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid." So he entered her tent, and she covered him with a blanket. "I'm thirsty," he said. "Please give me some water." She opened the skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes by and asks you, 'Is anyone there?' say no." But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Just then, Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. "Come," she said, "I will show you the man you're looking for." So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with a tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, son of Canaan, before the Israelites. And the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against the king of Canaan until they destroyed him. Now you see why we call this sermon Women Warriors in the Bible. Let's talk about the historical setting. Many of you know that the history of Israel began with the patriarchs, and then as they grew in number, they went to Egypt. And then in Exodus, we speak about the exodus of the Israelites and their journey to the promised land. After Moses died, Joshua began leading Israel, and then we move to the third phase of Israelites' history as they conquered the promised land. After Joshua died, there was a period of judges. The book of Judges covers a period in Israel's history after the death of Joshua. The nation of Israel crossed over the Jordan and through a series of armed conflicts acquired possession of the land that God had promised. Now the 12 tribes of Israel were given specific allotments of land. And because of these allotments, the nation was now spread out over several hundred miles. There were no longer a cohesive unit, and there was not one singular individual who led the nation. In the first four verses of Judges chapter 4, it sets the framework for this story. Israel had sinned and did evil in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord sold them into the hands of the king of Canaan, and it says that Sisera, the commander of the army, cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. As we read, there are four principal characters in this passage: Deborah, Barak, Sisera, and Jael. And the scripture says that Deborah led Israel and that she was a prophet. Well, what is the role of a prophet? A prophet plays a unique role in the society because they communicate God's truth and his instruction to God's people. In her role as a prophet, what did Deborah do? It says that she helped decide disputes. Isn't that something? Whenever there are people, there will be disputes. And whenever there are disputes, people need help to resolve their disputes. And this is what Deborah did. We also see in her role as prophet, she communicated God's direction to the commander of the army, Barak. And in Judges 4, in verse 6, we see this critical conversation take place. The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. It's a very simple plan and it's very clear. Now, Barak's response was less than desirable. He says, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. And this is problematic. It's problematic because he's putting a condition on his obedience to God. And the truth is, this is a common human response to God's instruction. We all have been there. God says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands say, well, if she starts treating me better, I'll love her as Christ loved the church. God says, wives, submit to your husbands. And wives say, well, when he starts treating me better, then I'm going to submit to him. God says, go and make disciples. And we say, if I could just make some more money first, then I'm going to make the disciples. So let's not look down on Barak, because we've all stood in the same shoes. In his shoes at some point. What's problematic is that what Barak is ultimately saying is that he's only going to obey the voice of God if certain conditions are met. Now, it was not the custom of Israelites to bring women to war. Whenever you see in the Old Testament there's a battle taking place, you always see God telling the leaders, assemble the fighting men. In fact, in the scriptures, in the exact instructions, he says, go and assemble 10,000 men from two tribes. Yeah. To Deborah's credit, the great peacemaker that she was, she didn't get sidetracked by Barak's lack of faith or courage. She didn't launch into a tirade of how weak and cowardly he was. What did Deborah do? She simply found a solution. She said, okay, I will go into battle with you. Deborah realized that even though it's not customary for women to go into battle, if she did not accompany Barak, then Israel would remain under oppression. She made the courageous decision to risk her life for the greater good of the Israelite people. In my mind, the overwhelming message springing forth from Judges 4 is the power of men and women working together to advance the kingdom of God. I love it in the end when it says, on that day, God subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the Israelites. Brothers and sisters and friends, God himself will subdue our enemies if we work with each other and fight for each other. I'll have my wife share it this time.
Amen. You know, it is so deep to actually have a visual in your head of what war is like, you know? I mean, along like with, if you've seen Braveheart, or if you've seen 300, or if you've seen The Woman King, you know, these stories are now so different now when I read the Bible. And, you know, I appreciate Deborah. I mean, she's like most women. She's a wife. She may be a mother, I don't know. But we just want peace, don't we?
Yeah.
We just want peace, perfect peace. And we'll do anything to get it. I love Deborah's purity of focus. You get so much more accomplished and are present with a heart of unity when the only person you want to impress and get credit and acknowledgement from is God. Yeah. That's what I am so inspired by with what Deborah shared. It's just, she's like, you know what? I'll do whatever I can. You know, the things I want to share is that Deborah arose and JL chose. You know, this looking at her, what I appreciate so much here too is that she came and maintained a mission mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, she guarded her heart. And I tell you, that's so challenging to do. You know, I know that's challenging for me, not to think the worst or to feel like it's all about me or somebody's taking things personal. That's one of the hardest things to do, not to take things personal. But Deborah, you know, she did not express cynicism.
Right.
She didn't express criticism with Barak's position. She stated the facts of who the honor would go to, but she affirmed positively, certainly I will go with you. And Deborah was the only woman among 10,000 men on the battlefield that day, huh?
Yep.
You know, in the movie, I keep saying The Lion King sometime, The Woman King. I keep saying that every time. The Woman King, Naniska, who was the general of the army, she said, we fight today. We fight not just for today, but for the future. You know, and that's what it's about, to be in the battle. I think that Deborah had that mindset for sure, that it's not just about today, but it's about the future. That's why we fight. That's why she fought. You know, that's why she wanted to honor her king in battle. That's why she went out there with Barak. That's why they had that partnership, because it was all to the glory of God. You know, King Jabin, who reigned in Hazar, and Sisera were the commander of his army. He had 900 chariots. Okay, that just goes to show how fortified he was. But God keeps showing us and his people over and over again that it's not about the numbers, it's about
right.
his power.
That's right.
And so that's what we see Deborah totally relying on, is the power of God. She knew that.
Right.
She knew the kind of army that King Jabin had, but she still was willing to be in the battle herself if it took that. And what can you say about JL? We don't know why she did what she did. I mean, I don't know. I mean, God just continues to use women who are outside of Israel as well as in Israel, as we see with Deborah. But he used Ruth, who was from Moab. He used Rahab, who wasn't an Israelite. And now we see him using JL. For whatever reason, she just came through. She's like, hey, I know what to do in this situation. And it's just like the Woman King weapons.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, honey. Now, Robin is going to read Judges 5, 1 through 31.
I'm so excited about Big Font. It's the things that you get fired up about when you are almost 60. I had brought my phone up to read it, and then I was like, wow, that's right. So I'm going to look here and read it.
I'll move it.
Okay, thank you, hon. And you can just. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in song. When you, Lord, went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water. The mountains quake before the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths. Villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until I, Deborah, arose. Until I arose, a mother in Israel. God chose new leaders when war came to the city gates, but not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with Israel's princes, with the willing volunteers among the people. Praise the Lord. You who ride on white donkeys sitting on your saddle blankets, and you who walk along road, consider the voice of the singers at the watering places. They recite the victories of the Lord, the victories of his villagers in Israel. Then the people of the Lord went down to the city gates. Wake up, Deborah, wake up, break out in song. Arise, Barak, take captives, your captives, son of Abinoam. The remnant of the nobles came down. The people of the Lord came down to me against the mighty. Some came from Ephraim, whose roots were in Amalek. Benjamin was with the people who followed you. From Machir, captains came down. From Zebulun, those who bear a commander's staff. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Yes, Issachar was with Barak, sent under his command into the valley. In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Why did you stay among the sheep pens to hear the whistling for the flocks? In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. And Dan, why did you linger by the ships? Asher remained on the coast and stayed in his coves. The people of Zebulun risked their very lives. So did Naphtali on the terraced fields. Kings came, they fought. The kings of Canaan fought. At Taanach, by the waters of Megiddo, they took no plunder of silver. From the heavens, the stars fought. From their courses, they fought against Sisera. The river Kishon swept them away. The age-old river, the river Kishon. March on, my soul, be strong. Then thundered the horses, hooves, galloping, galloping. Go, his mighty steeds. Curse Moron, said the angel of the Lord. Curse its people bitterly because they did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty. Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Hebar, the Kenite. Most blessed of tent-dwelling women. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. In a bowl fit for nobles, she brought him curdled milk. Her hand reached for the tent peg, her right hand for the workman's hammer. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. At her feet, he sank. He fell. There he lay. At her feet, he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell, dead. Through the window peered Sisera's mother. Behind the lattice, she cried out, why is his chariot so long coming? Why is the clatter of his chariots delayed? The wisest of her ladies answered her. Indeed, she keeps saying to herself, are they not finding and dividing the spoils? A woman or two for each man, colorful garments as plunder for Sisera, colorful garments embroidered, highly embroidered garments for my neck, all this as plunder? So may all your enemies perish, Lord, but may all who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. Then the land had peace 40 years.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, honey. So after reading Judges 5, I think the thing that really resonates with me, in verse 2, it says, when the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. You know, that verse really captures the critical need for teamwork. It captures the important dynamic of leadership and followership. Great kingdom-centered victories are not accomplished only by inspirational leadership. Leadership is critical. Deborah arose and so did Barak. The soldiers of Naphtali and Zebulun arose. But victories are really secured through the partnership of willing leadership and willing followership. Also, in this song, Deborah and Barak's song of victory memorializes not just the courage of those who sacrificed and engaged in the conflict, but it also memorializes the lack of courage and the lack of sacrifice that other tribes of Israel were suffering from. Some people prefer to sit on the sidelines and watch the outcome. And in Judges chapter 5, it's really almost embarrassing that there were certain tribes that were called out by name because they didn't participate. Reuben, Gilead, Dan, Asher, they were called out by name because they refused to participate. For me, I want to be in the battle. I don't want to sit on the sideline. I want to be one who rolls up his sleeves and gets involved as opposed to sitting on the sideline watching and waiting for the outcome. I would be remiss to fail to mention the impact of Jael. Jael was not an Israelite. She was not part of the community of believers. Sisera actually thought that her tent was a safe place. We don't really know all the details, but this woman was serious. She took a tent peg, lured this man into her tent, and made him feel like, all right, this is a safe place, and then took a tent peg and a hammer while he was asleep and drove it through his temple into the ground. That was some serious stuff. And I want to say that for the women who are here, this is not really what we want you to do when you're in conflict with people, okay? This is stuff that happened a long, 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 long time ago. But the spirit of what is being said here is that, look, God can use women to bring about a great victory for his kingdom. Amen.
Amen. Yes, I just see the woman king, okay? Or it's just something. But I just love so much that Barak and Deborah wrote the song, because you guys know me. I love music. And most things are either in conversation, a movie, a scripture, or a song. They just always come to mind. And I love how God always ended victories with somebody writing a song. And in this song, we see that God is a God of truth. You know, God doesn't hide any of our mistakes. He doesn't hold them over us, but he doesn't hide them. We see that throughout the Bible. And I love here how Deborah and Barak put in their song, you know, what was going on with each of the tribes. Yeah. You know, that they understood. And we have to understand here, like them, I see how they understood how each person was doing, how each tribe was. And they didn't have the answers for all of it. Some was just in questions like, okay, why did you stay back? Or why were you by the ships? And why were you in this location or that location? You know, but they put the victories in there. And I guess the line that I love the most, which is what I always want to try to do before the Lord, is search my own heart. Yeah. Search my heart when I'm not in the battle. Search my heart when I'm not with the people of God, when I'm someplace else and all the people of God are out there on the battlefield. Right. You know, I need to search my heart to see where I am and why I'm there and why I'm not with the people of God. And while I'm not in the battle It's amazing that there were 40,000 people, they said, in this song, but none of them had any tools for battle. it's like, you know, 40,000 and none with anything with battle. Only 10,000 went with battle, and they risked their lives. You know, we always talk about the 20-80 thing. I don't even know the math for this, 10,000 compared to 40,000. But the ultimate thing is that blessed, to be made happy, they said about the woman Jael in battle. And I guess that's who was foretold about in Judges 4, who would get the honor. They put her in song. God is not discriminative of people.
That's right.
He's not discriminative of races. He's not discriminative of ethnicity. And he's not discriminative of gender. There was a great victory that day. And the people of Israel saw peace.
Right.
For twice the amount of years that they saw war and Amen. Cruelty.
Amen. Thank you, honey. Isn't she awesome? Amen. All right. So how is the story of Deborah and Barak relevant to us today? I just want to share a few thoughts before we say a prayer for the Lord's Supper. Ephesians 6, Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." As Christians, we have battles to fight. Our battles are different. They're not fought with weapons of war, but they're battles all the same. Our struggle, Paul says, and it is our struggle. It is my struggle, Robin's struggle, anyone who is a human being who is trying to live a righteous life. It is our struggle. Our struggle is against the devil's scheme. And if we do not rise up and fight against our sinful nature, it will cruelly oppress you. Think about our societal ills. As a nation, we are oppressed with hatred and division. We are oppressed with violence, lies, opioid, and alcohol. We are a nation oppressed with the consequences of casual sexual conduct. And who can free us from our oppressors? Is it the government? Is it the doctors and medics? Is it the intellectuals of the age? If you're visiting this morning and are feeling cruelly oppressed by sin, I'm here to tell you that there is only one person who can give you guidance and instruction that can free you from your oppressor. And that person is Jesus Christ. Just as Deborah and Barak had to rise up against a formidable enemy, we too must be willing to rise up and engage in battle again and again and again and again against the oppression of sin in our lives. But we got to fight as one. We got to fight men and women together for God's glory. We got to fight leaders and followers together for God's glory. And the one who has the power to bring us together is Jesus Christ. In closing, in Ephesians 2, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are thankful that you are God of peace, that you are one who put to death all hostility between men and women, between people of different ages, between people of different races, between people of different nationalities, between people of different languages and ethnicities and cultures. All the things that will make us hostile toward one another, you break down those walls. And Father, we are thankful for your bread, your body, as we take this the bread that represents your body. We thank you for allowing yourself to be hung on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We take the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that you shed on the cross. We thank you that your blood has purified us from our sins and continues to purify us. And you overwhelm us with grace and mercy and kindness. Father, help us never to take for granted the great price that your Son paid for our redemption. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.